man, it's a busy show. Lots
to cover.
Lots to cover today. Great interview with the City of Phoenix Recycling, Valley-wide Recycling Partnership.
Whoa, ho, ho, ho.
We have a special guest on the line who's going to help us talk cybersecurity, but we're going to sneak in Celia real quick on air and take care of a couple callers real quick. Celia, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and happy holidays.
Yes, ma'am.
You too.
I have a question. I just bought a house. It was built in the late 90s, so it's about 15, 17 years old. And we removed the carpet and all around the perimeter of the house. Now, there's a hole. There's a gap all the way around where the expansion joint used to be, probably deteriorated over the years. We're going to put tiles down. Am I supposed to fill that gap with something to seal it, or am I leaving a highway open for termites and heat and cold loss? Or something?
Are y'all laying the tile yourself, or are you hiring it done?
No, we're having it done.
Okay.
I'm having it done by somebody.
All right. Then I would leave it to the tile contractor to determine what gets put in there. I would definitely seal it with something. Let the flooring contractor decide so he can warranty everything and he's not going on top of a product he doesn't like. You were talking about it leaves a highway open for termites. It absolutely does. We call it conditions conducive. I would tell you that many instances and times like that, when we roll the carpet up and prepare for a new floor, not only do we termite pre-treat all the surrounding outdoor areas where the expansion joint used to be, but any cracks in the concrete or where it joins other cold joints, we actually termite pre-treat that as well. Many instances, especially if we're going back with wood floor.
And that is a great question, because you pull up the concrete and that you take out the tack strips and it pulls out little chunks of concrete, and you think, well, I'm putting tile, the grout will cover that, but it's called thin set for a reason. It's made to go on thin. You don't want to put that big void. And Ardex is a common product name, but as Rosie said, let the licensed contractor pick the product.
Yep.
Because it'll work better with the warranties and work that he's familiar with. If you don't have one, you can always find a good contractor at Rosie, R-O-S-I-E, onthehouse.com. All right, Gene, next on the line, go ahead with your question real quick.
Hi, I've got a 60-year-old house and recently had a sewer blockage. And the contractor asked me if I had Orangeburg pipe. And of course, I have no idea. And then I got a thing in the mail from the City of Phoenix on warranties for sewer lines and water lines. Would those cover it? And are they worth the money?
You may be in the very unique position of considering pulling that policy and activating it. Generally speaking, I tell people don't invest in those. But a 60-year-old system that's beginning to clog now may be a prime candidate. I would be happy to consult with you for free if we can get in touch with each other during the week. I'd come out. Let's read the policy together. Let's take a look at the condition of the house. Let's talk to the plumber who last roto-rooted your house and make that determination. It is not for everyone. It's like this letter APS sent out to everybody. I have been asked a million times, Rosie, what is this insurance program APS is offering?
I'm on APS. I haven't seen it. And 60% of the state's on APS.
APS has endorsed this insurance policy from Home Services Insurance Agency that guarantees your electric line between the transformer and your service entrance section. I got it. My mom got it. She says, Rosie, what is this? I said, I don't know. That has got to be the most ridiculous insurance policy on the face of earth. I don't know. I've been remodeling in Arizona for 40 years. I can't think of one instance any house I've ever been in had a failure between the service entrance section and the transformer. I don't know why APS is pushing this policy.
Mama,
it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Been in her house for how long?
As long as Jennifer and I have been married, 40 years.
And has she ever had a problem from the transfer? And how much? It's an insurance policy?
I'm sure it's like $6 a month.
Holy cow!
I'm sure there's an instance where you could say, yeah, I've got, you know, evidence that it's needed. It's like when the city of Peoria and Avondale were sending out insurance policies for your water supply line. It just seriously,
man.
Let's bring our special guest in.
Hang on, real quick.
Okay.
So it's $6 a month.
Yeah.
Let's say they get 3 million people on it.
Uh-huh. Well, hopefully they don't.
I'm just saying, 18 million a month. I can see why they would.
I wasn't
going
to mention it on air until I talked to someone at APS. But it
we'll have to get someone on.
These insurance policies that are insuring, and let me just say this: I'm not a big fan of home warranties either. I don't think most of those plans serve the homeowner very well at all. Buy that protection through your homeowner's insurance, not through a home warranty program. But that's a topic for another day.
When we had so many people asking about that, we have a special article in the insurance category of our question and answer. It's a great option that actually makes sense because I'm not a home warranty. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's get to our data doctor who's online from New York City.
Happy holidays, guys.
And to you as well, Mr. Ken. You get down to Rockefeller Square and see it all decorated?
Well, my daughter's lived here for about 7 years, so she makes sure that we don't do those touristy things.
Oh, man, I had to do it. I even had to rent skates and get out on the ice 1 year just to say I did it. Take it off my bucket list.
Yeah, I know. We've been around this, but, yeah, obviously it's an amazing time to be in New York.
Well, it's an amazing time for a lot of people that have bad intentions with my credit card. I'll tell you that. Ken, I'm doing something wrong. I've had 2 credit cards compromised just in the last 30 days. What am I doing wrong?
Well, unfortunately, you know, you heard about this chipped credit card thing that we're going to finally get onto the European standard.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons. There are these things called card skimmers that are pretty rampant out there. And so let's say you're at a restaurant and the individual that's serving you takes your credit card back to run it, they could have in their pocket a little card skimmer and a cyber thief that's paid them to go skim as many cards as they can that day. Fast food restaurants, typically places where they have lower income staff, these guys will say, hey, look, you make an extra $100 today. All you got to do is just slide every card that you run, just slide it through this little thing and give me the device at the end of the day. And they're able to basically capture everything that they need to actually duplicate that card. So the chipped cards that are coming out that will basically eliminate that type of activity. And obviously, where you shop online, if your computer is not completely, you know, running well and cleaned, it may have some nefarious software in it that's just tracking everything you do. You know, there's so many different ways they can get you. So it's really kind of making sure, well, first of all, no matter what you do, because other people are involved, there's really nothing you can do to make it 100% go away. It's going to happen. Just expect it. It's kind of like one of the risks of driving a car is that you can get into an accident. It's just a reality.
And so this chip thing on the credit cards, is this what the metal credit card container that I hear advertises, is that what it's supposed to help protect, and in any consumer feedback on those?
Well, so that's a different process. That's trying to block against NFC readers, which it gets kind of technical. In fact, that's likely going to be the subject of my column in the newspaper next week, just because there's so much confusion about that. A lot of that's scare tactics. The reality is that you carrying a card around with a chip on it, you don't have to worry about somebody, you know, bumping up against you and stealing your credit card. That's just not that realistic at this point.
2 of my cards voluntarily sent me those chip cards within the last 60 days. They just showed up in the mail. Here's your new card. Shred your old one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they're much safer to use because what happens is when you insert, we call it dipping instead of swiping, right? You dip the card at the bottom of the transaction terminal. When you do that, what's happening is that none of the information on the credit card itself is ever read by the machine, unlike when you swipe. It creates a one-time token that's used for that merchant. So even if a cyber thief was able to grab that token, it's a one-time use thing. It's not nearly as useful as being able to steal all the information for your credit card. So the whole idea is to make it so that cyber thieves no longer have any interest in trying to steal the information at that level. You know, it eliminates the card swiping. The card present process, people may or may not have ever heard that, card present, that actually refers to the fact that the card never leaves your sight. The transaction is done in your presence, and the card is at the physical location that you're doing business, right? So no longer will this person run back to the back of the restaurant to run your card. They usually, now they're bringing out these mobile terminals, they're swiping the card or they're dipping the card right in front of you, which is, again, another nice thing from a security standpoint. You know that nothing could have happened to that card in that specific instance.
Now, aside from credit cards, there's so many other ways to make purchases. You can purchase things on your iPhone, your iPad, your computer. What else do I need to be aware of?
Well, the purchasing process through mobile devices is actually pretty safe as long as you've, you know, as long as you're getting your apps from Apple or from Google Play Store. You're not getting apps from third parties, which is what most people are going to do. You have to be kind of a nerdy guy to know how to jailbreak or root your phone and be able to sideload a bunch of stuff that people have no idea what I'm even saying. So for the most part, if you're using a mobile device, you should be fine. The issue is doing business with unscrupulous fake retailers this time of year, especially with these hard-to-get items, hot items that you're going to see these fake websites pop up. And it won't matter whether you're on a mobile device or a computer. It doesn't matter. If it's a fake website that claims that they can get you that hard-to-get item and they can get it to you for a deal and they can get it to you before Christmas, you know, all the stars are aligning. You're thinking, great, I finally found one. You put your credit card in, what have you. And, you know, Christmas Eve rolls around, no package. You basically were taken. They got you to give up your credit card number. So even a website that looks legitimate, you've never heard of it, you got to do some research, because these guys can create these fake sites, submit them to Google as legitimate sites, and they'll show up in Google searches until somebody figures out they're fraudulent.
And so, as a homeowner, technically challenged as I am, what would I see? How would I determine whether a site was valid or not? Is there a way I can detect?
Yeah. There's a couple things you can do. One is look for the customer service section of the site. And if it's like really difficult to find like an 800 number or any way to contact the company, if the company's address is a P.O. box, if you can't find a physical address, if you can't find any information on them, that's the first red flag. That's not, you know, that's a sign that they don't want you to be able to contact them. If you want to get somewhat technical, you can do, Romy, I sent you a link to one of my articles. There's a little bit of detective work you can do on any website to see how long it's been around and who's registered it. And if it looks like that's kind of a company that claims they've been selling electronic gadgets for 10 years, and you go look at this website and it was created last month, again, another red flag. So there's lots of those things. The good news is that most of the things that you're going to want to buy, you can buy from sites you've heard of. So stick to those. A big mistake that I see from a lot of people is that, let's say you want to go to Amazon. Instead of typing Amazon.com in your browser and going directly, you type Amazon in to Google, and Google presents you with like 50 links that all say that they're Amazon. And 10-20% of those links could be nefarious links, because these guys can buy ads and what have you. So stop using Google to search for a site you already know about. Go there directly.
Great tip.
That is a great tip.